say it again, good noon. And after I say good noon, I'll say, what's up, Jeff? I see. It's so great to see all of you here. It's been a minute, it seems like. These months between our meetings seem to get longer and longer. I don't know why. You know, I wish sometimes we could bring them closer together. Thank you for being here. This is our Wednesday before our Christmas celebration. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I hope that you all did. Some of us had some tragedies, but that's okay. We're still here. We're alive and well. Looking forward to the new year coming right after Christmas. Hopefully, even now, I've been asked to remind you or to tell you that there are some free books available here. As you go through, this is going out to the fellowship area. And they're available for your enjoyment and reading. Give you something to do on these cold winter nights that's coming. And they're starting to get here when?
Now.
Now, like maybe tomorrow night. Supposed to get down into the below freezing area. And this weekend, my goodness. Just remember that if you ever want to see any penguins now, you can go to my house because my wife keeps it cold. Oh, she's not here, is she? Yeah. But I'm sorry. She... I'm used to the cold weather. Let us pray together. Our Father and God, Lord, we just praise you and we thank you. As we would say constantly, that you are indeed in your holy temple, and let all the earth be silent before you. Because, Father, we come to you today knowing that, Lord, even now, there are devastations that's happening around the world. But God, you're keeping us safe in your loving arms. Thank you for this fellowship and these that come out, Lord, and we don't count it robbery to come out and fellowship together and just have a moment of praise, God, and thank you for life itself. Thank you for making us mindful one of another. Lord, there's nothing like a smile from a friend. Lord, that we might see at different places as we go about the community. Thank you for giving us a heart of compassion and fellowship. Might it always be sweet. Might we always look to one another with loving eyes and kind heart. Thank you, Lord, for giving us compassion one for another. For every incident that's occurred, God, our heart goes out. We give up with even thanksgiving, having heard that there's a praise in the house. And Father, and even behind every disappointment, you do give us praise. We love you, God, but we thank you most of all for loving us and loving us through your Son, Jesus, even more. And we ask that you accept this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And let us stand together and sing hymn 181, which is Joy to the World, from your hymnals.
We get to sing this a cappella. Here we go. Joy to the world.
Be true to
and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love.
May he see.
It's very special that we have this hat here today, since today is the anniversary of Pearl Harbor, right? I got to get it right. 75 years, wow. And how many of you were around when that happened?
I was.
Hubie was. Arnold, were you around when that happened? Pearl Harbor?
Yeah.
You remember Pearl Harbor?
Yep.
Well, that was an awesome day, and one of those days that if anybody was around, they remember where they were when they heard about it. So it's very appropriate we have that. Who's that belong to? Do we know who this hat belongs to? Belongs to you.
My father-in-law's hat.
Your father-in-law's hat. Thank you for sharing that with us today. Well, as we come to our time of prayer and praise, let's start with praises. What are some of your praises today? Yes, sir.
I praise the Lord that my children are fine today.
Yes.
I'll talk about why later.
You'll say why later during the prayer time. During the concern time. He's praising the Lord that his children are fine today, and he'll tell us why when we get to the other part of our prayer time. Yes, Bubba.
Well, my granddaughter informed me that I will become a great-grandfather.
Well, good. That's wonderful. Congratulations. Any other praises? Yes, ma'am.
My friend Taryn just had twin baby girls.
All right.
27 pounds each.
Wow.
Twin baby girls.
Wow. What a blessing. Yes, sir.
I praise God for my beautiful wife.
That's besides the Lord, that's your best praise, isn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Any others? Yes, ma'am.
Praise the Lord for my family.
Yes. And we're so glad to see your family here today. You might have been here last month, but I wasn't. So, and I praise the Lord that I can be here this month. Yes, sir.
For our military men and women serving around the world, and for our good health and well-being.
Yes.
In the United States.
Yes. Any other praises? Well, there's a lot to be thankful for, especially this time of the year, the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we will celebrate soon, and this Advent time when we are waiting for that celebration and thinking in our hearts about how we're supposed to live and what we're supposed to do and the kind, generous people that we're supposed to be at this time of the year. What are your concerns today? Kurt?
No, I'll tell him my sermon.
Oh. Oh, I thought you were going to say that your children were in an accident and were praising the Lord that they were okay. His children were in an accident, so I'm glad that they're okay. Yes, Cindy? Prayers for your family. Okay. Any others? Mm-hmm.
Carol Fulmer, who had surgery yesterday, and she's doing fine.
Okay, great. And Barbara Hensley is, Bill and Barbara are usually always here. They love this service. And Barbara's been in the hospital. They're really not sure what was wrong with her. They have some suspicions, but nothing precise. And she's been very, very sick, but she is home now. The only reason they're not here today is because she had a doctor's appointment this morning at this very same time. So I think they would have been here because she's feeling a lot better. Yes, ma'am.
I'd like to pray health issues for Tommy Critchfield and Barbara and Larry Critchfield.
Okay. It's a lot of Critchfields in need of God's healing strength. Others?
Prayers for those who are homeless.
Absolutely. And I would like to thank you for your prayers for my mother. Last month at this time, you were praying for her because she had a heart attack, and Today she went for her first cardiac rehab, and I just talked to her on the way over here. She said they really worked her hard because she hasn't been able to be at the Y for a whole month, and so she's, you know, her muscles are not like they were. And she said, but she said they said she did fine, so she will be 93 on December the 23rd. And she's doing great. So I pray, I praise the Lord for that, because, you know, we did almost lose her. When we first got the word, it was a mild heart attack, and then later on we found out it was not a mild heart attack. And the doctor told us if she hadn't been going to the Y, she would not have made it. So we're very thankful that we still have her for this Christmas. So any other concerns? There are so many, I know. I could give you a huge list from Roadsville. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear and loving Lord, during this Advent season, this time of waiting, waiting for the birth of the Christ child anew in our hearts, we are so grateful for the privilege to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ at this service, this first Wednesday at noon service. This is such a blessing to those of us who attend. We love to be together with our brothers and sisters from other churches, and what a blessing it is to blend our lives together as we pray and as we sing and as we listen to your word and as we respond to your word. We are grateful people. Lord, you love us with an everlasting love, and you hold us in your everlasting arms, and we know that, and we trust in that, especially when we realize that there are people who are sick and in need of your healing strength, others who are sad over the loss of loved ones, others who are wondering what the future holds because of a diagnosis or because of finances or whatever the case may be. And Lord, to know that you're with us and that you love us and you walk this journey with us means everything to us. And we are grateful people. We thank you for this church called Zora Baptist Church who's hosting us today. And we thank you for the ministry of this church and this community. And we ask, Lord, that you would help us to be mindful of all of the needs of those around us, not only in our church families, but beyond the walls of our church houses, knowing that there are people who are suffering, there are people who are hungry, there are people who wonder how they're going to have Christmas for their precious little children, there are people who are concerned about their loved ones, there are people who are wondering about their jobs and wondering how they're going to make ends meet. So, Lord, we know that there are a lot of concerns. And we know that because you love us, you're right with us, taking care of us, walking with us on this journey, helping us, giving us counsel and guidance and wisdom so that we can know how we can help. So, Lord, help us to be used as your instruments of grace, not only this Christmas season, but always. May we be your hands and your feet and your voice to a world in need. We give you thanks for being the Prince of Peace for us. And we pray for peace in the world. And we pray, Lord, that you would always help us to be instruments of your peace as well. For we offer this prayer in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now let us stand together and sing hymn number 184, Angels We Have Heard on High.
Ken will get to sing this a cappella. And by the way, I enjoyed hearing a cappella here in Joy to the World, so I know we're going to have a good time with this. So here we go.
Angels, we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echo back their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria.
Terry, and I know, and you all probably know if you're going through Bible studies and things like that, you almost feel lost if you don't have the Bible you normally use. And so, Cliff, I'm glad that maybe you won't be lost anymore.
I was lost in knowing
that. Amen. That's right. That's right. See? That's beautiful. See? Well, I just count it a great privilege to be a part of the East Orange Community Church Fellowship. Therefore, with my brothers and sisters in ministry, I get to be a part of my brothers and sisters who, honestly, if we didn't have this community fellowship, I wouldn't know most of you. But I'm so grateful that we have said, hey, we love God and are His children through the precious sacrifice of our Savior Jesus. Let's come together. Let's fellowship once a month, and then, of course, through the Lenten service weekly. It's a great privilege. And I count it a privilege to know all of you this side of heaven. And I have to wait to know you in the next side, on the next side. This year, for Advent, I prayerfully chose, well, prayerfully as well as God just kind of worked it out, that we are actually running through the Advent themes here at Zohar backwards. So instead of starting with hope and ending with love, this year we are starting with love, and I think very appropriately, as we head into our new year, we are ending our Advent year and our Advent theme with hope. And I'm actually looking forward to how God just kind of works that through with our congregation. But I know for most of you, this is the Advent week where we celebrate God's peace. So for you who have this past Sunday talked about, discussed, enjoyed just a renewal of the knowledge of God's peace, I hope that this will just be a reminder to you. And for those of you who attend Zohar, I hope this will be a foreshadowing to when we celebrate this Sunday and the next week, peace. So this week we're actually on joy. Therefore, I couldn't hold back singing, "Angels We Have Heard on High," and "Joy to the World," because you know what? How can you have joy without peace, right? So today we get to talk about peace. Now, I find it very interesting because, as Nancy already let out of the bag, my illustration for today, that happened this morning, I had another thought for an illustration, but I said, this one is right here. Here I'm preparing for a sermon on peace. And as I'm leaving this morning and ready to get to the church early and just kind of get all my ducks in a row and all that kind of thing, I get my daughter, who I usually take, my youngest daughter, I take her to school, and she comes running in. She said, "Dad, Nicholas and Natalie were in a wreck." I said, "What?" I grab my stuff. If you see me without a belt, that's why. Forgot my belt. Forgot to take my blood pressure medicine this morning because my routine was out. And I'm like, oh, of all days, right? I'm like, "Lord, don't let me get too stressed," which was stressful. And I'm running out the door. Well, praise God. My children are fine. Everybody involved in the accident's fine. Except for then, as I'm driving here, my initial thought is, you know, are my children fine? Are they safe? Are they okay? Then my second thought is, are anybody else in the accident? Are they fine and okay? Everybody is. So then my thought is, the practical things, the material things. Oh, yeah. I don't have a pickup truck anymore. I'm not too thrilled about that. Probably beyond repair, and I'm not happy about that. Oh, the insurance man said that we will have quite an increase. Being that my son's 16, we will have quite an increase in our insurance. Yeah, I'm not too thrilled about that. So now I'm looking at, you know, the expenditures of some of my finances and the plans that I had for it, well, are going to be reallocated. And some of those are going to go out the window, some of those plans. And just kind of all these thoughts are going through my mind. And you know, of course, then you're looking at, okay, what could my son have done to avoid this accident? Now, praise the Lord, he wasn't charged. But what could he have done? And there, it was interesting because there were two other vehicles involved, and the one in the furthest one away just had a hitch bent. He evidently, my daughter said, he sat there saying, "Now, what you should have done is..." Then Dad came in and said, "Son, what you should have done is..." Same thing he said. And, you know, so I'm running through my mind, you know, man, if he had just done this instead of that, we wouldn't have this issue. All these things are going through my mind. I didn't have peace this morning. I didn't have any peace. In fact, I was quite upset. And you can ask Heidi. She said, "Are you okay?" I said, "No." I said, "I am not in a good mood." Michelle was here, who's messing with the sound. She said, "Do you need prayer?" I said, "Yes," as I'm walking into my office. And I text my wife. I asked her to pray for me. I then talked to a pastor friend of mine, and he prayed for me. And, of course, it was very neat because he prayed some reminders that I needed. God is very, I feel, humorous sometimes in his testing. I'm preparing a sermon or a challenge on peace, and something like this comes into my life. Is it really a big deal? No, not in the scope of things, but it did cause a lack of peace. I had to call, you know, praise the Lord, I had someone in well, several people I could call upon to lead Bible study this morning, and they did that no problem. And it's just neat how God will say, listen, I let these things happen. And I'm sure there's other reasons, but this morning, because you're speaking on peace and you need to be able to share peace. God's peace. God's peace. Have you ever taken time to think about God's peace? This is not a peace that is a lack of violence. A lack of violence is not peace. That's just a lack of violence. That's a lack of activity, if you think of it. But peace in our heart. How about if violence is happening to you, and yet you can be at peace? Just read the Book of Martyrs and the violence that happened to them. Martyrs who knew the next day they were going to be burned at the stake, or the next day they were going to be beheaded, and they slept like babies in their prison cell the night before. That's peace. Peace. What is God's peace? Before we get into some scripture, I'd like to just pray. Just take a moment and pray. God, cover us with your peace. You tell us in your word that your peace passes understanding. We just finished a prayer time where we, honestly, we had wonderful praises and more truly than we could have had time for, but we also had requests that, if we were to be honest, our requests would far surpass our praises. And yet, God, if we look to you in all things, we can have peace. Speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture reading today was from Isaiah. Isaiah was one of the main prophets prophesying of the blessed coming of the Messiah, our Savior, who we know to be Jesus of Nazareth. Isaiah gave the coming Messiah many names. Among those names, he gave Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. Peace is intimately related to righteous living before God. It's intimately related to that. God wants it to be. He wants it to be made possible, this righteousness to be made possible then through our repentance of unrighteousness. He wants to make it possible through His love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave. That's what we're celebrating. He gave that giving, Christmas, that gift of Jesus, His only Son. He wants it made possible through the grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And possible through the Comforter, Jesus promised, the Holy Spirit, and the communion that we can have with Him. So this fact of peace that we have is due to righteousness. If we have a lack of peace in our life, we probably could pretty quickly draw a line right back to unrighteousness, right? Things where we have sinned in our lives. Well, here's the interesting thing. We as human beings need to understand what Paul told us in Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, Paul says, so written even in the Old Testament, there is no one righteous, not even one. Then how can we ever have peace? Pretty hopeless, isn't it? Well, we know how we can have peace, don't we? Righteousness is gained only through the acceptance of Jesus, God's Messiah, God's Savior, as Lord of our life, Savior of our eternity. And then the doors of possible peace in our lives are opened. Why do I say possible peace? Because peace is actually action. Remember, if you say, Violence is the lack of peace. Well, violence is action. Believe it or not, it takes action to have peace. And so therefore, like we read in Isaiah chapter 32, our brother Terry read this, chapter 32, verses 17 to 18, the result of righteousness will be peace. To have a result, you have to have an action before the result, right? The effect of righteousness will be quiet confidence forever. God said, then my people will dwell in a peaceful place, in safe and secure dwellings. What a beautiful promise. That's a promise from Almighty Creator God, who loved us so much to send us Jesus. The way to righteousness, then, we know, is found in Jesus, who is the essence of faithful love and truth. John 14:6. Jesus said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God. No one is made right before God except through me. Other scriptures tell us Jesus is God's reconciliation of man to him. He is the door. He is the way. What a beautiful gift of peace. Through the Prince of Peace, we celebrate his birth at Christmas. King David, that's the guy who defeated Goliath. Well, guess what he said? He spoke of this same fact of righteousness producing peace in Psalm 85, verse 10. Faithful love and truth will join together. Now remember, Jesus is that faithful love and truth. Will join together. Righteousness and peace will embrace. Because of Jesus' faithful love, because he is the truth, we can then actually pursue and become righteous before God and embrace peace. I think that's so beautiful. Jesus, or James, the half-brother of Jesus, he was one who, he poo-pooed Jesus when he was living on the earth. It wasn't until he saw his brother die and be risen from the dead, he goes, my brother is the Messiah. And it totally changed his life. So much so, he became the leader of the church in Jerusalem. The apostles, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, those guys, you know what? They respected James. They actually sought James for counsel. And James was the first writer of our New Testament. In James chapter 3, verse 18, this is what he wrote. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. By those who cultivate peace. Cultivation. Anybody grow up farming? Cultivation takes some work? You're farming right now. Does it take some work, brother? Does it take more work than you anticipated years ago? Yeah? It's a lot of work. So is it with peace? This Christmas, and honestly every day, we who claim to be believers are challenged to live righteously before God. And in so doing, as we live righteous before God, we can have peace literally in every situation of our life. Yeah, for me, even today, with my wrecked, beautiful, red truck. But I can have peace. Oh, I didn't. And honestly, for a little while, I didn't want to. But I knew I needed it. I knew it would take work. And through prayer, through reading God's Word, through the prayer of my brothers and sisters in Christ, that's why I didn't deny their offer of prayer. I can honestly say, I'm at peace. That's a simple thing. Quick turnaround. But it is because of God's peace. And he said, Kurt, don't practice unrighteousness in this situation. Practice righteousness. Seek me. You'll find me. He promises that. Jesus teaches us that. Matthew chapter 7. And I will give you peace. A beautiful thing. Our world is in desperate need of peace. Let's bring it closer. Our community is in desperate need of peace right now. Your neighbors are in desperate need of peace. Your friends are in desperate need of peace. Closer, your family is in desperate need of peace. Your spouse is in desperate need of peace. You, me, we're in desperate need of peace. It's found in righteousness. When we have that peace in ourselves, we're ready to spread peace. We're ready to share it then. Peace is action. Well, to spread peace, we have to be active about it. Peace is found in the person of Jesus Christ, God's gift, His Christmas gift to us. We have to tell people about Him. We are challenged to, in righteousness, spread the word of Jesus. What a beautiful and wonderful privilege we have to spread peace. Isaiah, that prophet who tells us about the Prince of Peace, said in chapter 52, verse 7, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the herald," or messenger, "who proclaims peace, who brings news of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." The bottom line then is summed up by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 10, verse 15. He tells us this: "How can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good things." When it comes to good things, I don't think there's much better than peace. Will you pray with me? Holy God, I can only praise you. I can only praise you. I praise you. My children are okay. I praise you that you have given me, just this morning, it's something in the scope of things. It's so little. But it did cause me angst, a lack of peace. And yet you said, "Kurt, you can't teach and preach peace unless you practice what you preach, and I'm giving you opportunity." Thank you for that opportunity today, God. I thank you that you have given me peace. I pray that I will practice righteousness continually through this day and through the week as I deal with some of these things because of what happened this morning. May I continually remember that I'm called to righteousness, and righteousness before you will bring peace. I thank you for my brothers and sisters here this morning. Their dedication to not just you as their God, but to your people. To say, yes, I'm going to be here on a Wednesday if at all possible. And I know others would be here if they could be. But to say, I'm going to fellowship in peace with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank you for this East Orange Community Church Fellowship. I thank you for the pastors you have called to be part of these bodies and for us to be part of the greater body of this East Orange community. May we spread the news of peace. Spread the news of the Prince of Peace. Spread the news of the name of Jesus. Spread the news of God's Christmas gift to this world. Peace. Only found in the name of Jesus, in whom we pray. Amen. Sorry.
Just a couple reminders. Our offerings today are going to the Wilderness Food Pantry. And next month we meet at Salem United Methodist Church. And I invite you to join me in a moment of prayer. Lord God, we are ever thankful for Kurt's challenge this day and for your word from the prophet Isaiah. May you bless the food that we are about to receive and the hands that prepared it. And may this food give us the energy to bear the fruit of righteousness, so that we might be agents of your peace, not only this day, but every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us go in peace.